live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí say they are not treating the death of a man killed in a house fire in Inishowen at the weekend as suspicious. A former British soldier has told an inquest into the death of a 47-year-old mother in Derry in 1971 that he fired two shots after a shot was fired in his direction from a low-velocity weapon. Irish Water have confirmed no water restrictions will be in place in Donegal tonight, and it's been confirmed that Loganair will take over the Glasgow to Derry air service after Ryanair confirmed they will discontinue this route. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Gardaí say they are not treating the death of a man killed in a house fire in Inishowen at the weekend as suspicious. Former school teacher Jerry McCabe was discovered dead on Saturday morning after neighbours became concerned for his welfare. It's understood the blaze was localised in the kitchen area of the house, and it's suspected that a gas heater may have been the cause. Cathaoirleá of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray is a former pupil of Scoilwara in Buncrana, where Mr McCabe taught for many years.
Very, very sad news, and especially in such tragic circumstances. It shocked a lot of people, and it's a very sad day. Mr McCabe, or Jerry McCabe, would have been known by many in this area, myself, others, and thousands of others would have went through Scoilwara. A lot of different memories of Jerry McCabe, and everybody's shocked and saddened to hear this news.
A former British soldier has told an inquest into the death of Kathleen Thompson, a 47-year-old mother of six in Derry in 1971, that he would be appalled if he fired the shot that had killed the woman. When pressed by counsel for the coroner as to his reaction if he had shot Kathleen Thompson, the soldier became emotional and agreed he would regret it. The soldier said he fired two shots after a shot was fired in his direction from a low-velocity weapon. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Soldier D was giving evidence from behind a screen. He said his platoon was tasked to cover another platoon who were trying to carry out an arrest operation in the Creggan area. In a statement, he said as his platoon retreated, he heard the crack of a low-velocity round going past his head. The soldier said he saw flickering lights behind a fence and movement from a very dark part of the garden of Mrs. Thompson's house, and believing he was under fire, he fired two shots in quick succession. The inquest heard that the soldier said he identified the position where he believed the shot had come from, which was a fence at the back of the Thompson house. He was asked if the figure he fired at could have been crouching, maybe banging a bin lid, and he agreed that they may have been. Mr. Jerry McLinden for the coroner asked, "Do you accept at this stage it is likely your bullet that hit Mrs. Thompson?" The soldier replied, "I have to accept that it was."
Arlene Foster says it's utterly unacceptable for the North to be treated separately from the rest of the UK. The DUP leader has been meeting with the EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier in Brussels. Ms. Foster described the EU's draft withdrawal agreement published last week as unacceptable. She maintains it's about reaching a deal that works for all sides.
I know some people have been trying to put us into boxes of hard Brexit, soft Brexit, all sorts of Brexit, but I've always maintained, and I have done since the referendum, that what we want to see in Northern Ireland is a sensible way forward.
Meanwhile, Northwest business leaders met yesterday with the Northern Ireland Secretary of State to discuss the unprecedented challenges facing the economy in the region. The uncertainty surrounding Britain's Brexit from the EU was high on the agenda, as was the city deal for Derry. Sinead McLaughlin, CEO of Derry's Chamber of Commerce, met with Karen Bradley and says she imposed on the Secretary of State how the possibility of a border remains a major concern.
It'll not be surprising, Brexit probably was the top of the agenda, but we also discussed a prospective budget for Northern Ireland and the lack of devolved government within the context of Stormont.
And although she couldn't give any commitments, was there any assurances that something could be done to protect the North West against Brexit?
We welcomed the Prime Minister's speech on Friday, where she reiterated her commitment that there would be no hard border in Northern Ireland, but we did draw to Secretary of State's attention that the government's aspiration and policy are actually incompatible, because if they are leaving the customs union and leaving the single market, then the whole possibility of a border is a great concern for our members. We were seeking clarity in relation to Brexit and the uncertainty that our businesses now find themselves. It really was a bit of to and fro in and around the discussions around the Prime Minister's speech on Friday.
And in relation to the city deal, you have said that this must be part of the budget that is going to be set out for Northern Ireland.
She has indicated that she is very supportive of a city deal, which we welcome. However, because there is no sitting executive at Stormont, she is very much, her hands are tied in relation to this. So, I mean, once again, we're calling on our locally elected politicians to find ways to come together and create an executive and take hard decisions that will be for the benefit for all of the people in Northern Ireland.
It's been confirmed that Loganair will take over the Glasgow to Derry air service after Ryanair confirmed they will discontinue the route later this year. The Loganair service will operate on a five-day-a-week basis beginning on Sunday, October the 28th, the day after Ryanair's service ceases. A 33-seat Saab 340 aircraft will be used on Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays, with a larger 50-capacity Saab 2000 aircraft used for Sunday evening services. Clive Coleman is the Regional and City Airports Contracts Director.
You might recall, and your listeners might recall, that when the Ryanair pulled off the London service last March, there was a 5 or 6 week gap before the BMI service started up again in early May. Airlines always work around these scheduling seasons at the end of March and end of October. So it's great that there's no break in service. And equally, it's great that we've now got two routes to Scotland. Yes, Ryanair are pulling out, but they're taking the same capacity over to Edinburgh. But we've still kept the link with Glasgow, which we know is so important to people in the northwest.
In terms of the airport's growth, in terms of the services the airport is offering, it's important for public confidence in the airport to see this level of service continue and indeed grow.
Yes, absolutely. And it's great having another airline in. It's obviously, we've got BMI running Stansted. We have Ryanair still with Glasgow and Liverpool and Loganair back in there. You know, we'd hopefully... other routes will flow from that. So it's good to have another carrier. Okay, it's a smaller aircraft, but it's another carrier in there. So it's great for people, and it's great for people in the northwest. It's the choice, because what we're still trying to say, it's better to fly locally from Coda than say drive all the way over to Belfast as long as the times work for people.
Irish Water have confirmed no water restrictions will be in place in Donegal tonight. However, the utility says consumption levels are still high, with customers urged to turn off taps and conserve. Irish Water will continue to monitor water demand across the county over the coming days, and decisions will be taken each afternoon as to whether nighttime restrictions need to be implemented. Meanwhile, Irish Water say that it will make a formal announcement on plans for a new wastewater treatment plant in Glendies next week. It's understood that a contractor has been appointed to carry out upgrade works. The project is currently in the design phase, with work expected to be completed by October of this year. Chairperson of the Glendies Community Development Group, Brian Carr, was speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier and says while this seems like positive news, he remains sceptical as the project has been in the pipeline for some time.
The last correspondence we had was the 13th of September last year, and that was that it had gone to planning, and in which the Donegal County Council planning section, and it said we cannot speculate on planning process dates, and that Irish Water had no influence over the planning's timing, and that's but the word that has come through that there's going to be an announcement next week is absolutely fantastic.
Maurice McCabe has appealed to anyone who got negative texts about him from Gardaí to come forward. It's after a counsel for the former head of the Garda press office denied the texts he sent related to a sexual abuse allegation against Sergeant McCabe, or that they were composed by former Commissioner Martin Callanan. Juliet Gash reports.
Counsel for Dave Taylor put it to Maurice McCabe that her client disputes that texts he sent about the sergeant related to an allegation of abuse, saying they were all about media reports. Maurice McCabe said it was his word against Superintendent Taylor's. Tara Burns also said that Superintendent Taylor denies saying that the messages were composed by Martin Callanan, to which McCabe said he 1,000% said that Commissioner Callanan compiled the texts. Asked by Tribunal Chairman Peter Charlton if he'd like people who got texts from Dave Taylor about Maurice McCabe to come forward, he said he would, as it's more evidence of a smear campaign. Earlier, counsel for John McGuinness said he would tell the tribunal that Martin Callanan told him that Maurice McCabe abused his children and his nieces. Maurice McCabe also received an apology from counsel for the HSC regarding a mistake in a file, which he accepted on behalf of himself and his family. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
The number of people waiting to be admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital has jumped significantly today, with 24 people waiting for a bed there this morning. It's up 17 on yesterday's figure of 7. 5 people were waiting on trolleys in its emergency department, while a further 19 were waiting on wards. Cork University Hospital, along with University Hospital Galway, were the joint most overcrowded hospitals today, with 52 people waiting for a bed at each hospital. Nationally, there were 620 people waiting at hospitals across the country this morning. There are calls for stronger enforcements to be implemented to tackle what's been described as vast illegal landfill dumping in Derry. It's after new figures show that while up to 750,000 tonnes of waste were legally dumped in Northern Ireland over the past 10 years, there have only been 66 convictions in the same period. Local councillor Sandra Duffy says there are a number of places in and around the city that have been identified as illegal dumping sites but are still being used on a regular basis.
It not only has an impact upon the physical environment in terms of how it looks, but it also has potentially the impact on our health through soil contamination, water contamination. All these things need to be taken into account and stricter penalties imposed on people who are illegally dumping.
And while these sites have been identified, a number of them across Derry City and elsewhere, are you saying that not enough's been done to tackle it?
Well, as Derry City and Strabane District Council, we have been trying to do the clean-ups. We have been doing stuff like that. But I think that Environmental Health and the Environment Agencies have to take a more robust approach to illegal dumping and identifying who these people are who are dumping, tax them, fine them, prosecute them, whatever is necessary to prevent this.
We know that there were problems in Derry and in Northern Ireland of people crossing the border from Donegal and illegal dumping there. Is that still an issue?
It has been an issue in the past, and it is one we have looked at in terms of our own Environment Committee through the Council. We have now installed number plate recognition on our recycling centres, which is just monitoring the use of the recycling centres. But at the end of the day, we would prefer people to use the recycling centres rather than dumping on the side of the road.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's now 5:15, time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with boxing, and Jason Quigley's confirmed his return to the sport. Middleweight Jason will face Puerto Rican Daniel Rosario at Boston's Marina Bay Sportsplex on March the 31st. The fight's on the undercard of Mark DeLuca's super welterweight contest with Michael Moore. Quigley hasn't fought since injuring his right hand and defeating Glenn Tappy in California in March last year. The bout with Rosario will be his first under new trainer Dominic Ingles. So Saturday the 31st of March, back in action for Jason Quigley. Moving on to soccer, and Letterkenny Rovers will play Firhouse Clover in the semi-final of the FAI Intermediate Cup, and Ulster Senior League side have home advantage in that semi-final. And the semi-final draw took place this morning at Abbottstown, and Rovers have been handed Leinster Senior League opposition once again. Rovers are looking to make the final for the second time in 3 seasons, defeated Home Farm in the previous round. When Letterkenny made the final in 2016, they lost out to Crumlin United. Firhouse, they defeated Crumlin in the quarterfinals of this year's competition. The game will be played at Lakeview Park in Letterkenny on Sunday the 25th of March. The winners of UCD and Maynooth University and Avondale and Dublin Bus, they'll meet in the other semi-final. Cross-channel, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp could rest top scorer Mo Salah for tonight's Champions League last 16th second leg against Porto at Anfield. The Reds are all but certain of a place in the quarter-finals, having won the away leg 5-0. And they also head to Old Trafford to play Manchester United in the Premier League this Saturday. Porto have won four league games and scored 15 goals since the first leg defeat. Klopp says he can't afford to make too many changes tonight.
We won the game in a quite impressive way, that's true. We were really strong that night. We were especially very, very effective that night. Porto had shots on target and only for a few inches in very decisive moments. So that's how a result like this can happen. We respect Porto too much and respect the competition too much that we would think about real rotation or whatever.
And one of the pre-tournament favourites will go out of the Champions League tonight. Big spending Paris Saint-Germain's campaign will come to an end if they fail to overturn a 3-1 deficit at home to European champions Real Madrid. Already without star striker Neymar, PSG are hoping teenage French forward Kylian Mbappe can play following an ankle injury. There's 11 ties down for decision this evening in the Championship, and with Martin O'Neill naming his first squad of 2018 on Thursday, there's another chance for Shawnee Maguire to put his hand up for a place tonight. The Preston striker grabbed a brace at the weekend and they welcome Championship playoff hopefuls Bristol City to Deepdale. Among tonight's other games, Cardiff can cut the gap on leaders Wolves to just 3 points with a win at home to Barnsley. Third place Aston Villa, they travel to bottom side Sunderland, and in form Fulham, they welcome Sheffield United to Craven Cottage. In the Irish Premiership tonight, it's the leaders Crusaders. They're away to third place Glenavon tonight. If Crusaders won, they can go 5 points clear of Coleraine at the top of the Irish Premiership. Elsewhere tonight, Dungannon Swifts, they play Ballymena United. In other news, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola has confirmed he'll continue to wear a yellow ribbon in support of imprisoned Catalan politicians in tomorrow's Champions League game with Basel. He's accepted an FA charge for wearing a political message, but UEFA rules allow him to display it. FA chief executive Martin Glenn yesterday apologised after comparing the ribbon to symbols like a swastika. Guardiola hopes he's getting to get what his protest represents.
He didn't understand what does it mean, the yellow ribbon. Maybe now he will realize what does it means, because it's not about independence or not independence. It's not about that. It's about the four people and more people are in jail when they didn't do absolutely anything to be in jail.
Another piece of news has been confirmed that Fiorentina captain Davide Astori died due to cardiac arrest, as Paul Sportum has ruled out any involvement of foul play in the 31-year-old's death. Astori was found dead in his hotel room in Udine on Sunday morning, but Fiorentina and his former club Cagliari have retired their number 13 jerseys in tribute to him. Moving on to rugby, and the Irish squad shows a clean bill of health ahead of Saturday's crucial Six Nations encounter with Scotland. Tadhg Furlong and Ian Henderson both took a full part in training, having missed the win over Wales. While the three-quarters partnership of Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray showed no ill effects from their respective knocks taken 10 days ago, Murray says there's huge excitement within the squad.
Yeah, you can sense it. Like I said, with the lads training today, you could just tell that it's a big week. You could tell by lads' body language and the way they were training that, you know, they want to be putting their best foot forward and then putting their hand up for selection. So, yeah, coming in on Sunday afternoon, evening, you could tell that, and you can just tell by people's energy or body language that it's a big week. And yeah, it's hugely exciting.
Elsewhere, England captain Dylan Hartley's a major doubt for their meeting with France and Paris. The hooker's dealing with a leg muscle problem. Forwards coach Steve Borthwick has confirmed wing Jack Noel will miss out because of an ankle injury, while flanker Sam Underhill is unavailable because of an issue with his toe. And Wales have called up Ospreys prop Rodri Jones for this weekend's match against Italy in Cardiff. He replaces Scarlets forward Wyn Jones, who withdrew from the squad last week because of injury. In cricket, Ireland are a step closer to the Super Sixes of the World Cup qualifier tournament in Zimbabwe. They've won their second Group A match with a 4-wicket victory over Papua New Guinea. Set a target of 236, Ireland reached their target with 5 balls to spare. William Porterfield top scored with 111. Next up for Graham Ford side is a meeting with group favourites, the West Indies, on Saturday. And finally, for this evening, in athletics, the IAAF have taken a totally opposite stance to the International Olympic Committee and refused to end Russia's ban from the sport. The IOC welcomed the country back last month after it was forced to sit out the Winter Games in South Korea following accusations of state-sponsored doping. But the IAAF says Russia hasn't reformed enough, and if it doesn't, could be expelled as a member of the organisation and its athletes banned from competing as neutrals. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Gardaí are continuing to question 11 people in connection with a suspected paedophile ring in Munster. The six women and five men were arrested yesterday in various locations. David Raleigh reports.
This investigation centres around four families who were interrelated and dates back several months. 11 adults who were arrested in a coordinated string of raids on homes yesterday remain in Garda custody. They are aged from their 20s to their 70s and include six women and five men. They are being questioned about alleged sexual exploitation of children in the Newcastle West District, Gardaí said. The suspects, who were apprehended at addresses in Limerick, Tipperary and Kerry, are being questioned at Garda stations in Cork, Clare and Limerick. The Newcastle West Garda District is one of the biggest in the country, and details of where the abuse is alleged to have occurred cannot be disclosed for legal reasons and in order to protect the identity of the alleged victims. Those being questioned by Gardaí can be detained without charge until tomorrow. David Raleigh in Limerick.
And for weather now, mostly cloudy this evening with scattered showers, some heavy. Tonight will also be mostly cloudy with some showers, a few wintry on high ground with lowest temperatures of -1 to 3 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí say they are not treating the death of a man killed in a house fire in Inishowen at the weekend as suspicious. Former schoolteacher Jerry McCabe was discovered dead on Saturday morning after neighbours became concerned for his welfare. A former British soldier has told an inquest into the death of Kathleen Thompson, a 47-year-old mother of six in Derry, in 1971, that he would be appalled if he had fired the shot that had killed the woman. Irish Water have confirmed no water restrictions will be in place in Donegal tonight. However, the utility says consumption levels remain high, with customers urged to turn off taps and conserve. And the number of people waiting to be admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital has jumped significantly today, with 24 people waiting for a bed there this morning. It's up 17 on yesterday's figure of 7. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 6th of March. The death has taken place at the Lake House Nursing Home, Port na Blá, of Danny Kelly, Kilmacleugh, Chrysler. His remains are reposing at the Lake House, with viewing there tomorrow Wednesday from 7pm until 10pm, with rosary at 9pm. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Chrysler, on Thursday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the Lake House Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Harkin Funeral Directors, Chrysler. The death has taken place of Mary Gilday, Mean Glass, Ballybuffet. Her remains are reposing at her home. Removal from there at 11:30 on Thursday morning for funeral mass at 12 noon in St Mary's Church, Sasha O'Neill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to Clohan Daycare Centre, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Jane Gilfillan, Woodlands Rafoe, and formerly of Letchergull, St Johnson. Her remains will repose at her residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock for service in Ballylennan Presbyterian Church at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu of desired to the respiratory unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Gibson Funeral Director, Convoy. The death has taken place of Eamon Barr, 11, The Cottages, Burnfoot. Removal from Murphy's funeral home this evening at 9:30, going to his residence. Funeral on Friday morning, leaving his home at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred in London, England, of Bernadette Emmanuel, née Donaghy, Bernie the Doe. Bernie's remains will repose at her late residence, Umrakam Bunkrana, from 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral from there on Thursday to St Mary's Church, Coghill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at Mount Hybel Nursing Home, Dublin, off Kathleen McFadden, Downings, and formerly of Falcara. Her remains will repose at Kerwin's Funeral Home, Fairview, Dublin, until 8 o'clock this evening. Removal from there at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, arriving at her late home at 9 Beach Park, Downings, at approximately 4 o'clock. Removal from there on Thursday morning to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, arriving at 6:30. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Rose Griffin, née Duffy, Drumnahoe, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Irish Martyrs for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in Newlech Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 4 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mary Molly Sweeney, 481 Moness, Burt. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral tomorrow morning, leaving her home at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Burt, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in Burt Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member, or Sean Murphy, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Gerard McCabe, Ishkeheen Muff, and formerly of Letcher, Fawn, and New Bliss, County Monaghan. His remains will repose at Murphy's funeral home until removal at 8 o'clock this evening to the family home at Letcher, Fawn. Removal on Thursday morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family and friends only.